Just for Andy and Leslie. Most of the time when you're giving a wedding toast, you're talking to a room full of people who personally know the bride and groom, not a room full of New York assholes. So in order for this to work, I need to describe the people getting married. Just pretend they are characters in a Jane Austen novel. I went to high school with the groom, this guy named Weems. And after high school, he slept on my couch for almost a year while he was working on his career as a male ballet dancer in Austin, an avocation he described to me as a ballerino. When people came into our living room to find him stretching in his leotard with his long red hair fastened with chopsticks into a top knot, they would ask, "What the fuck is he doing?" And Weems would reply in his deepest voice, grunting and picking up the nearest umbrella or meter stick, "I am practicing my sword fighting techniques." And I believe that is still his excuse. Weems is a fine fucking fellow. I like him, and I have always liked him. Perhaps this is unkind to say, but in personality, he has always reminded me of Launchpad McQuack from the television show DuckTales. By that, I only mean that he is buoyant, up for anything, and will laugh at even your stupidest jokes just to be nice as he is crashing your expensive plane. It is literally impossible for me to think anything bad about Weems, although there was this period in 2003 where he said yee-haw after every declarative statement the same way that a person might say yes, oh really, or go on. As in, "Hey Weems, I need you to get a job so you can buy your own deodorant." And Weems would say, "Yee-haw, yee-haw." Or, "Hey Weems, I'm sorry I said you had to get a job. Yee-haw, yee-haw." During this period, being around Weems was sort of like being around a really sensitive and agreeable rodeo clown. But luckily, this phase did not last, and eventually, Weems found other ways to express sympathy. He is marrying this truly beautiful woman named Leslie that he fell in love with at first sight, which is gross, but true nonetheless, and easy to believe if you knew her. Leslie is very kind, and very smart, and very pretty. I don't know where the hell she comes from, but she definitely looks Mediterranean to me, and she has that simmering, strong vibe about her, even though deep down you can tell she is all sunshine and flowers. Because love is a truly awesome and terrifying force, I think Weems was afraid of Leslie at first. I encouraged him as much as I possibly could to get out there and pursue her, like Doc encouraging Little Mac, mainly to get Weems off of my couch and into her perfectly good bed. But you could also tell they were great for each other right from the start, which is also gross, I know, but also true. You could see this moment, this marriage, in their eyes as soon as they met, and cheers to both of them for their courage to get there, to this moment, this marriage. What is it about these two folks that makes them right for one another, and how come it is so obvious to those of us who care about them that they've got something special? What makes any of us right for one another? Where does love come from, and what makes it stay? There's all the obvious theories, of course. Brings out the best, makes you happy, destiny, Jesus, whatever. But those theories are all probably bullshit and do not advance our practical knowledge of love one bit. One theory of love that I find interesting is that we are born into this world seething with a profound karmic debt from our past lives. We have deep and instantaneous attachments to the wrong people because we've loved them before in a previous life. We must now get to know them again to come to terms with our past traumas. Our last love in our last life is therefore our first love in this one. We try and fail and try again, traveling the world searching for true love until we meet a brand new soul that we've never loved before. And then when this happens, we meet this strange and delightful new person. We're drawn to them willingly with goofy grins as if we're being abducted by aliens. We demand to be taken aboard their ship and dragged around the universe somewhere new, to experience brand new ideas, scary shit, and to grow wiser, tougher, and smarter about love and about the human experience. Another theory is that what we're really looking for in life is a witness, someone who's so attracted to us they cannot look away from our personal fireworks and freak show. We're looking for the sort of person who finds us so goddamn interesting they want to be present for every day that we've got, no matter how tedious or how much of a car crash. For a dancer, this can mean the perfect audience. For a teacher, this can mean the perfect student. For a social worker, this can mean the perfect case. This is the way you write about love if you're writing novels. People are drawn to each other because of what they lack, not because of what they have. Another theory is that love is all about Armageddon. No, hear me out. Maybe it is because I spend all this time with Russians these days, but you can easily look at love as a long, cold war. You learn everything possible about your opponent because you know they have thermonuclear warheads aimed right at your capital cities. You send in spies. You collect data. You try to subvert the intellectuals. You wage a propaganda campaign from your perspective, using love letters, misinformation. Afraid to fight the big war that will annihilate you both, you fight little fake wars in satellite countries. And then, slowly, these differences between you become a source... Slowly, these differences between you become a source of overwhelming fondness, affection, and need. You make speeches to tear down the wall. You share mixtapes, trade underground literature, and have secret dance parties in bad German techno clubs. Shit, then it all comes tumbling down. Then you have to deal with the fact that you now share a planet between you. Instead of threatening each other with global annihilation, also known as breaking up, now you spend your time talking about what to do with China. That's a wedding joke, China. All right. But here's how I really feel about love. Here's how I really feel about love. I think that before we are even born, we get together with our true human complement and decide what we're going to do in this world and how best to achieve our wildest dreams. Maybe we make plans to meet up at some point with this eternal companion at some place we'll both be able to get to using codes we'll both recognize. Until we meet in our life, we hook up and encourage each other in our dreams. Every pair has different needs and goals. Some pairs go their entire lives apart in order to achieve some hidden, occluded purpose that only makes sense to them. And some pairs love each other so much that they decide they will meet in this lifetime as soon as fucking possible in order to carry on down the road of life together, supporting each other, getting each other's back, sharing all life's beauties, mysteries, terrors, and glories, helping others achieve their dreams, and working towards making the world a better place by filling it with possibility, acting as a spiritual fulcrum, and serving as an inspiration to the rest of us. By proving to all of us that it is better to turn and find your soul than to walk alone in the darkness. Weems and Leslie, or I guess I should say Weems and Weems, are this kind of couple, the best kind, and so it is easy to celebrate their union. And so I wish them all the fucking best in this world, as I wish the best to all those couples, women and women, men and men, women and men, who have found each other through all the static and who are brave enough to declare themselves done looking. So raise up your glasses, New York. Happy wedding and a happy new life to Leslie and Andy. So you're not getting a wedding present. Sorry.